you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
I'm so proud of our graduating seniors. Someone said that for many of our high school graduates, you were born in a year that our world changed in 9/11, and you're graduating in a year when our world changed with a global pandemic of COVID-19. I mean, what must Jesus have in store for you throughout your lives? That you've been this group that started life in such a stormy season, and now you're graduating and moving into a world that's been through and continues to be in another stormy season. I really do believe that the Lord desires to do great things, world-changing kind of things through your life as you move into this next chapter. And whether you're graduating from school this semester or not, we've all kind of been making our way through the class of Pandemic 101, have we not? And it has been challenging. It's been as challenging as any storm that probably any of us have ever taken and gone through. And yet the Lord has been with us each moment in this storm, through this storm, as He's so inclined to do, because it's who He is, it's in His nature, it's in His character. He'd never leave us. He's always going to be with us. In fact, the story that we're going to look at today, as we wrap up Matthew chapter 14, is one where we see Jesus coming to His disciples right in the middle of a massive storm. So would you turn with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 14? We're going to pick our story up this morning in verse 22, and we're going to read through the end of the chapter. And in fact, from the earliest of times, the church has drawn from this story that we're going to look at today, the lesson of how Christ comes to His people in the stormy seasons of life to deliver them. And we're going to see this unfold in this story that we read together in just a moment. And as we read, I want you to notice that the disciples, especially Peter has what I'm calling an in and out faith. Now, what I mean by an In-N-Out faith is not someone who has faith in the goodness of In-N-Out Burger, although I am a massive fan of In-N-Out Burger, and especially of the triple cheeseburger, animal style, no tomatoes, with peppers, cut into with an order of extra crispy fries, just saying, but I digress. Now, when we're talking today about an in and out faith, what we want to notice is that there's something significant to having a faith that gathers together as followers of Jesus as we obey what Jesus tells us to do. In the case of the story that we're going to read today, they're gathering in a boat, and they're gathering in that boat together. And yet, there's something significant about having a kind of faith that doesn't just stay in the boat, but that is willing to get out of the boat as Jesus calls us to Himself. So an in and out faith, both in and out of the confines of a boat, as we'll read here in a second. But remember this also, whether that faith is in the boat or it happens to be out of the boat, remember what Scripture says over in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God." So as we pick our story back up in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, remember what just happened in the previous verses. We talked about this last week. Jesus took a junior high kid's lunch that was placed in His hands. It was 5 loaves and 2 fish. And He fed not just 5,000 people, but when you include all of the women, all of the children, probably somewhere around 20 plus thousand people. And then they had 12 baskets of leftovers to take home. And so after Jesus performs that miracle and involves his disciples to pass all that food out to all those 20,000 plus people, look what it says in verse 22. Matthew 14, verse 22 and following says this: "Immediately he," Jesus, "made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. And they said, 'It's a ghost!' And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Take heart, it is I, don't be afraid.' And Peter answered him, 'Well, Lord, if it is you, then command me to come to you on the water.' Jesus said, 'Come.' So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, 'Lord, save me.' And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, 'Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?' When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped Jesus, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.' And when they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent around to all that region and brought to him all who were sick and implored him that they might only touch the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were made well." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Man, this story of Jesus walking on the water is one that people may think about when they talk about the miracles of Jesus. And one thing it reminds us of is this: we will never find ourselves in a place where Jesus cannot find us. Man, would you repeat that? Would you say that out loud with me? We will never find ourselves in a place where Jesus cannot find us. Man, slam those thumbs up emojis. That is something to remember. That is something to comment and say, yes, that's right. Amen. Don't forget that. Would you engage right there as you're engaging in your own home or on your device? Let this be an engaging moment that remembers this truth. We will never find ourselves in a place where Jesus cannot find us. That means no storm in our life is too severe for Jesus to be able to meet us in it, move us through it, and save us from it. Whether it was that stormy season of 9/11 that we referenced earlier, that was nearly two decades ago. Or it's a stormy season of uncertainty that we're going through right now with this crazy coronavirus and what the future looks like. I mean, those unemployment waves are kind of rising higher and higher. We don't know what travel, we don't know what school's going to look like in the fall. But friends, no storm in our life is too severe for Jesus to find us, meet us in it, move us through it, and save us from it. And friends, there's going to be time when our faith is going to need to be exercised inside the boat, inside our homes, inside our family, inside our offices, one day inside our church building again. And yet there's also going to be times when our faith is going to need to be exercised outside of the boat. Where we're going to be called by Jesus. His Spirit is going to call to us to get out of the boat, to join Him, to come to Him, to walk towards His voice that's calling us to join Him in something new, maybe something risky, maybe something that we haven't ever experienced before. But He will call us. And when He does, well, we have outside faith. We have in faith, but well, we also have out faith. We see both in and out faith unfolding in our story here in Matthew 14. Let's walk it back. Let's take a closer look. Back in verses 22 to 24, we see Jesus telling His disciples, guys, get in the boat. Get in the boat and head out. Now, why did Jesus do that? Why did He tell His disciples to get in the boat right after feeding 20,000 or so people? Well, remember what we said last week. All four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all record this miracle. It's the only miracle besides the resurrection that is mentioned, that's referenced in all four Gospels, the feeding of the 5,000 or the 20,000 people. And John's Gospel shares an insight that may help us answer the question today of why Jesus made His disciples get in the boat and head out. Would you turn to the right in your Bible, over to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. I want to show you why I think it gives us a hint of why Jesus told His disciples, hey guys, get in the boat, go to the other side. I'll dismiss all the crowds here. In John chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, it says this. When the people saw the sign that Jesus had done, the feeding of everybody on the hillside, when the people saw the sign that He had done, they said, this is indeed the prophet who has come into the world. And perceiving then that they were about to come and take Jesus by force and make Him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by Himself. See, Jesus sees expectations of the people rising, sees them unfolding. The scripture says earlier in John's chapter that it was the Passover season. That means the masses were making their annual trek towards Jerusalem. And Jesus, He performs this miracle. He feeds everybody. 20,000 plus people right there in the palm of His hand. How simple would it have been for Jesus to harness all of this momentum, this passion, take this mass of people and His disciples on this militant march toward Jerusalem, overthrow the Roman occupation that was oppressing the Jewish people? What if He were to ride in on a stallion instead of a lowly donkey to people who were waving palm branches? Man, that's the kind of Messiah everybody had in mind. That's the kind of Messiah everybody in that day was hoping for. Even the disciples. And those 12 guys would have had a front row seat. They would have had places within the king's cabinet. King Jesus and His merry men. And Jesus saw it coming. And He knew, after having dinner with the masses, no, my time is not yet come. I didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many on a cross. I didn't come to receive an earthly crown yet. I didn't come to have that placed on my head from the people now. A different crown awaits me in Jerusalem. A crown of thorns, not a crown of gold right now. And so Jesus does what he does so well. He de-escalates the scene. He puts the disciples into the boat. He sends them out. Jesus dismisses the crowd. And now he's alone on the mountainside to pray. Remember, Jesus still hasn't really had a moment to mourn the death of his cousin John, who was beheaded by Herod at the start of chapter 14. Remember the heading above chapter 14, the death of John the Baptist. That's why Jesus was over on this side of the lake to begin with, to get away for a minute, to take a breath, to kind of sit down on the inside. And then all of the masses of people, they see him, they come his way. As we read last week, Jesus has compassion on them down in his guts for these hurting and hungry and sick and scared people. And so he ends up feeding them, all of them. Nobody was left out. And now, finally, he's alone. He can pray. He can grieve John's death. Friends, make time in your life to grieve loss. Stuffing it is not healthy for the long haul. Now, sometimes we may not have the luxury to grieve or to mourn in the moment, but you can't put it off forever, or you shouldn't. We must take time to mourn our losses before we just move on. Now, we all do have to move on, but it's healthy to take a moment and mourn over a loss. See, we've all got to do inside work on the places in our life where we've experienced loss, or else it's going to eat us up in the most inconvenient times in our life. And I think in this part, what Jesus was doing while he was alone on the mountain, while his disciples are in the boat, headed to the other side, and yet ended up in the storm, I think Jesus has taken a moment to pray and to mourn the loss of his cousin John. Now, those disciples, where are they? They're right where Jesus told them to be, inside the boat. They're going where Jesus told them to go. Head on to the other side. I'll catch up with you. What we see here, faith and obedience of the disciples in action. They get a check mark for that. Good job, guys. Going and doing what Jesus told them to do. Always the right move. Friends, you're never going to go wrong in life when you immediately do and obey what Jesus tells you to do and obey in your life. Now, it may be a bit frightening, and you may not fully be able to understand the whole reason of why Jesus told you to do something or led you to do something. But friends, Jesus always has your best interest in mind, no matter what he instructs us to do and instructs you to do. Friends, when he tells you to get in the boat and go, get in the boat and go. The disciples did. And then they end up in this massive storm, and they're scared to death, and they're trying to fight this storm for survival. It's somewhere between 3 and 6 a.m. It's known as the fourth watch of the night. And after rowing for all that they were worth for hours in this storm, they think they see a ghost walking their way. But it's not a ghost. It's Jesus. And he's walking on the water, and he's walking out to where they're fighting the wind and the waves. And Jesus says, like only Jesus can say, "Hey, don't be afraid. It's okay. It's me." I mean, look back in verse 27. Matthew 14, 27. "But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid.'" Underline that phrase, "it is I." It is I. Let's talk about that for a second. It's an interesting little phrase. It is I. In the original language, it reads, "Ego eimi." Ego eimi. It is I. It is I. It's okay. It's me. I am here. I am is here. See, ego eimi. It has Old Testament echoes. It's a way to suddenly call out deity's name. Ego eimi. I am is here. See, if you go all the way back to Exodus, Exodus chapter 3, I'll show you something. Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. It's a story of God speaking to Moses through the burning bush. And in Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, listen to what it says. "Then Moses said to God, 'If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, well, what is his name? What shall I say to them?' And God said to Moses, 'I am who I am.' And he said, 'Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. I am is here. Take heart, it is I. Ego eimi. I am who I am. Don't be afraid, friends. Have faith inside the boat. I told you to get in it. I told you to head out here, and you did it. Now I am with you." Now I want you to notice something. Notice what Peter does. Notice what Peter says back in Matthew 14. Verse 28, "And Peter answered Jesus, 'Well, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water.' And Jesus said, 'Come on, come.'" So Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water and he came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, Peter was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and he took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got back in the boat, the wind ceased. I want you to notice something here. It wasn't Jesus who initiated the conversation here about getting out of the boat. Peter initiated. Peter's the one who asked, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you." "Come on then. Come to me." And sometimes Peter gets a bad rap here, in my opinion. Sometimes Peter gets filleted and grilled by, well, he took his eyes off of Jesus and he started to sink. Well, yeah. But man, when Jesus said, "Come on," Peter puts his leg outside the boat. Peter in that moment is embodying both an in and out faith. It makes me think of when my kids were little bitty and we were teaching them to swim. They were learning to swim and swim lessons, and then we'd pick up where the swim lessons left off, and we'd go down to the pool in our neighborhood, and they'd be on the side, and I'd get in the water with them, and I'd go, okay, come on, jump to me, and they'd jump out. Sometimes I'd catch them at first to kind of make sure they would get the feeling, and then we'd get them to the outside and say, okay, come in, swim to me. I'm going to get back a little further, and then, okay, jump. Come on, and they'd jump in, and as they kept doing it, I kept scooting back, and kept scooting back, and kept scooting back, and paddle, 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 and then I'd grab them right before they'd go under. You're going, man, you're a cruel dad. No, I want my kids to know how to swim. Come on, jump to me. And they did. And their faith grew in themselves and in their abilities. They knew they could get there. And they knew that if they ever went under, Dad was there in that moment to raise them up. I'm here. They go, I'm me. You don't have to be afraid. Respect the water. You don't have to be afraid. Jump in. Jump in. I wasn't being mean. I wanted them to learn to swim on their own. And Jesus says to Peter, come on, man, jump in. The water's great. Come to me. And Peter does for a few steps, and then he starts to sink. Now, Jesus says Peter has little faith, and I'm thinking, yeah, he had a little more faith than I probably would have in that moment. I mean, at least Peter got out of the boat. He had faith to get inside the boat. He had faith to row out into the open waters, obeying Jesus to begin with. And now Peter shows some outside faith by getting outside of the confines of the boat. Notice, not to go his own way, not to do his own thing, not to make a name for himself after graduation. But he heard the call of Jesus after he was in a conversation with Jesus. Come. And Peter got out of the boat and he took a couple of steps. Woohoo! We need to celebrate that, not criticize that. That's worth celebrating. Sure, he ended up failing. But at least he had a little bit of faith to take a next step toward Jesus. And Peter started off with his eyes on Jesus. And then he did what we do so oftentimes. He took his eyes off of Jesus. He puts the focus on the surroundings. And he and his faith start sinking. And Peter cries out in verse 30, Lord, save me. And Jesus responds, and he pulls Peter up, and he puts him in the boat. Jesus gets in the boat. Immediately it's calm on the water. And it says in verse 33, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. You're the Son of God. Friends, nurture your inside faith. Don't quit getting in the boat of church. Keep situating yourself inside this boat. Even as right now we are apart from one another physically, keep situating yourself amongst the body of Christ, the church. Sometimes when we are together in these formats as the church inside the boat, even if that boat is your living room, connecting with others who are in their living rooms or in their cars or on vacation, dialing in, we're in this faith boat right now. And when we are in the faith boat together, sometimes in that environment, we will hear things from Jesus. We will end up worshiping Jesus with a new perspective that may not happen if we were outside the boat. There's a time to be in the boat, and there is a time to be out. In and out faith. But friends, inside faith is critical to our lives as followers of Jesus. Don't abandon ship. Don't abandon the church. Graduates, find a faith family in every season of your life, wherever you find yourself. It is imperative to find yourself and situate yourself inside the boat of faith. It is critical. Friends, had Peter not been in the boat, he never would have heard, "Take heart, don't be afraid, it's me." And yet, when you hear Jesus say, "Come on," then put your leg out of the boat and walk to Him, whatever the substance may be, with your eyes fixed on Jesus. Because friends, He's never going to call you to a place that He's not already there, beckoning you to join Him. Just be sure to keep your eyes fixed on Him and not the waves and the winds that may be all around you. Because friends, that's a recipe for sinking. It's such a powerful story of faith. Inside faith and outside faith. In and out faith. Would you say that with me? In and out faith. Mark Driscoll had some great insights and questions for us to consider from this passage of Scripture. As we've mentioned, this feeding of the 5,000 or that 20,000 people is the only miracle of Jesus that's found in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. However, the story of Jesus walking on the water, it appears in three of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and John, not Luke. However, only here in Matthew's Gospel do we also learn that Peter walked on the water. How crazy must that have been to witness that? Examining Peter walking on the water in response to Jesus walking on the water. And when we look at this, we can learn at least eight things, eight observations. Let me share these eight observations with you. And here's what I want you to do. I'll share the observation, give a couple of thoughts, and then I'm going to invite you to engage, invite you to actually comment. If you've got your device, to comment a response there or to mention out loud with those if you're watching and worshiping online with other people, or write down your answer. Use that comment time here to engage. The first observation is this. Look for Jesus and keep looking to Jesus. We see that in Peter's life. Look for Jesus and keep looking to Jesus. Although a storm surrounded him, Peter looked to Jesus. The only problem was that he stopped looking at Jesus. And so the principle is clear. Especially when life is a tumultuous storm, look for Jesus and keep looking to Jesus. So here's what I want you to comment on. What does looking to Jesus look like for you? What does looking to Jesus look like for you? Take a moment and comment. Post a comment there. Write that down. Is it reading God's Word? Is it praying? Is it getting alone? What does looking to Jesus look like for you? Second observation is this. When Jesus commands you, obey Him. When Jesus commands you, obey Him. Jesus told Peter to come to Him on the water. even though it made no sense, Peter did what Jesus said. And this is what obedience looks like, doing what Jesus said. So I want you to comment on this right here. What is an area in your life that you are not obeying the Lord? I mean, you want me to comment in front of everybody? Yes, there's something good about accountability. You're a part of the church right now. Let the church know where you are not being obedient to the Lord. Confess that. Don't let it hold a grip on you. What's an area in your life that you're not being obedient to the Lord? Is it to your parents? Is it something in a relationship, in your marriage? Is it a way you're approaching your work or a friendship? Does it have to do with the tithe and giving to the Lord through the church? What is an area in your life that you're not obeying the Lord? Third thing is this. Faith is simply taking the next step. Faith is simply taking the next step. Peter took one step to get out of the boat and onto the water. Peter was doing just fine when he was focused on just the next step. Peter got in trouble when he lost sight of the next step. So here's a question I want you to comment on or respond to. What next step has Jesus asked you to take? What next step has Jesus asked you to take? Comment on that. Write that down. Speak that to someone in the room with you. What next step has Jesus asked you to take? Fourth observation from Peter is this. Faith unleashes the supernatural. Faith unleashes the supernatural. Peter did not experience the supernatural power of God that allowed him to walk on the water until he trusted as evidenced by his actions. He had to get out of the boat. And that's what unleashed. That's what unleashed the supernatural. So here's the question for you to comment about. What's one thing that you need to be doing differently in your faith? Would you comment on that for a moment? What's one thing that you need to be doing differently in your faith? Take a moment and comment on that. Write that down. What's one thing that you need to be doing differently in your faith? Fifth observation is this. Fear will sink you. Fear will sink you. When Peter had faith, he walked on the water. When he had fear, he sank in the water. And the same thing's true for you and me. Fear will sink you. So here's a question to comment and respond on. Is there any fear that's gripping and controlling your decision making? Would you comment on that? Is there any fear that's gripping and controlling your decision making? Write that down. Post that. Comment on that. Speak that out. Number six is this observation. Jesus saves you from many things. Jesus saves you from many things. Jesus not only saved Peter from hell, but on this occasion in our text, Jesus saves Peter from drowning. So here's something to comment on. What things has Jesus saved you from? What things has Jesus saved you from? Would you comment on those? Let us see those things. Let others be encouraged. What things have Jesus saved you from? A couple of more things. Number seven is this. A little faith is better than no faith. A little faith is better than no faith. The Lord Jesus spoke of Peter's little faith. This means that he was capable of even greater and sustained faith. But the guys in the boat, apparently they didn't have any faith, or not much of it. So here's a question for you to comment on. What area of life do you need your little faith to grow? What area of life do you need your little faith to grow? Comment on that for a moment. Last observation, the eighth and final one is this. You can choose to worry or worship. You can choose to worry or worship. In an instant, the men went from worrying about their circumstances to worshiping the Christ. And so here's my question for you. Would you comment on this? How is your worship of the Lord going? Would you give a number from 1 to 10? 1, not going well at all. 10, you're right in His presence all the time. Where are you right now on that scale of 1 to 10? Would you write that down? Would you comment on that? Just be honest. Where are you when it comes to worshiping right now? Maybe your worship is a 1 and your worry is a 10. What if you began to shift that balance? Do you realize something? That it was right there in verse 33 when Jesus and Peter got back into the boat together. That's the first recorded moment in all of the Bible when the disciples declare, "Jesus, you're the Son of God." And it happened when they were in a boat out in the middle of the water. What about you? As we wrap our time up, have you made a choice in your life to have an inside faith that actually gets lived outside of the boat? Would you like to put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus today? Would you like to confess Him as the Son of God? If you would, I invite you to pray a very simple but powerful prayer with me as I lead. It's called an ABC prayer. I'm going to invite you to admit that Jesus is the Savior and that you're the sinner, to believe that Jesus is who He said He is, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, and C, to call on His name. If you'd like to put your faith, hope, and trust in Him right now, to call on His name to be your Lord and Savior, I invite you to pray this prayer with me. You can pray it out loud. You can whisper it. You can pray it in your heart and mind to Jesus. However you want to do it, whatever you feel most comfortable doing, I invite you to bow your head with me and pray if you'd like to call on His name right now. Dear Jesus, thank You. Thank You for this story of in and out faith. Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner. You're the Savior. Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. Jesus, I call on Your name. Would You be my Lord? Would You be my Savior? Would You give me faith to believe? Make me a new person. Calm the storms around me. And see me through to the other side. I love You, Jesus. And I'll follow You all of my days. In Your name I pray. Amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer with me, I invite you to do something. Would you email me when we're done in just a moment at david@arapahoeroad.org or let me know in the comments. I'll go back and look at this part of our Facebook Live and see if anybody has put their faith, hope, and trust in Jesus. And man, I just want to encourage you in that. And I'd love to follow up with you and help you take a next step in your faith. I want to remind you that we'll continue worshiping and gathering online rather than in person throughout throughout the month of June. Our Facebook opportunities will be Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and then Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. Join us there. We'll continue gathering online in those different venues, and it's going to be a great time to continue worshiping and gathering together in that way. I want to let you know that next Sunday, we're actually going to take communion and have some time of prayer together. So as you gather together for worship next Sunday, make sure that you have an element of bread and a cup of something to drink to represent the broken body of Christ and the blood of Christ. And we'll lead that time together next week. It'll be a great time of worship. As we always encourage and invite you to do worship through giving, one of the easiest and best and most secure ways to do that is through our give button at our website, arapahoeroad.org, and you can just click on the little give button in the upper right-hand corner. It'll take you to our secure giving site, and you can give to the Lord through the church in that way. You can always mail in your gifts as well, whatever you feel most comfortable with, and just know how much we appreciate your faithfulness. If you've never participated in giving, today's a great day to do that. I encourage you and invite you to do that. I want to give you a blessing as we wrap our time up. Know that at the conclusion of our time here in just a moment, there'll be a slide that talks about the roadmap. We've updated that. It gives you the website address for you to go onto our website and just get some more information about the next phases of June and July and August, and just how some things have pivoted in recent days. And we'll do our best to continue updating as we move forward. And so for the next month, we'll continue worshiping online, and we'll look forward to seeing you in this venue. So why don't you hold your hands out? Let me give you a blessing as we wrap our time up. You're the people of God. You're the one God loves. He's with you. He's for you. He'll walk right out in the middle of that storm to meet you, to see you through it. Don't ever feel like you're alone and that he can't get to you. Jesus can meet you wherever you are. He's with you. He's for you. He'll never leave you. You can trust him, and you can walk with him. Don't forsake that inside faith. And when he calls you out of the boat, step out and walk to him. He'll be there, and he wants to be with you all the days of your life and into eternity. He loves you, he's with you, and he's for you, and so am I. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. We're Arapahoe Road, we're in community and on mission, and that means we follow Jesus, love your neighbor, bless the city, and make disciples. God bless, we'll see you again soon.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning worship service at 10:45 a.m. We hope you'll join us this week.